pros and team of Bears experts to get you ready for the start of the season, along with Bears reports live from the practice field, breaking Bears news, and in-depth conversation with players and coaches. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago, WJMK2 Chicago, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Scoreboard update.
From the Score Update studio, I'm Julie DeCaro. Receivers Alshon Jeffrey, Marquise Wilson, and Eddie Royal all missed practice yesterday with various injuries, along with safety Ryan Mundy. But Bears head coach John Fox says he's not ready to rule anyone out for tomorrow night's game against the Bengals in Cincinnati.
I do a lot of things, but no. All right, just, again, something could change, and then, so they're day-to-day in my mind. See how they did today in their treatment.
Elsewhere in the NFL, the Steelers' Martavis Bryant suspended for 4 games for violation of league substance abuse policy. Johnny Manziel out for the rest of the preseason with a sore elbow. And Washington quarterback RG3 won't answer any questions about when he received a concussion during the August 20th game in Detroit. He's referring all questions about his head injury to the team. Cubs, meanwhile, looking to start a new winning streak tonight in Los Angeles. They've got to get past Clayton Kershaw first. Kershaw's 10-6 on the season with an ERA of just 2.29, but the Cubs have the best record in the league in August. Dexter Fowler still day-to-day with both a hand and a shin injury. Cubs made a deal to pick up reliever Fernando Rodney from the Mariners for cash considerations. Zach Roscoe shipped to Iowa to make room on the roster. Brian Schlitter has been DFA'd. Jason Hamill and Clayton Kershaw tonight at 9:10. White Sox, meanwhile, send John Danks to the mound to face Taijuan Walker for the second time this week. Walker beat the Sox Sunday in Seattle. He's 8-2 with 100 strikeouts in his last 16 starts. Speaking of the Mariners, they fired GM Jack Jurencik this morning. In college football, the University of Illinois has fired head football coach Tim Beckman after an investigation revealed he discouraged student-athletes from reporting injuries. The school about to hold a press conference right this second. We'll get to it in just a few moments right here on 670 The Score. The scoreboard update brought to you by the Backyard Barbecue Store, your Big Green Egg Superstore in Wilmette. And the new Wyndham Rewards is simple. 15,000 points earns you a free night at over 7,500 hotels. Get started with 3,000 bonus points this summer. Sign up today at WyndhamRewards.com. You've earned this. I'm Julie DeCaro. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks to the Big Ten Network, we take you now live to Athletic Director Mike Thomas explaining the Tim Beckman firing at the University of Illinois.
It showed me enough evidence that Tim Beckman needed to be dismissed as the University of Illinois head football coach. As you know, when allegations surfaced about the football program, we took action but reserved judgment. I want to be clear that the health and well-being of students is our top priority. And this decision was based on the health and well-being of our student-athletes. The findings do not reflect the culture we are building in Illinois athletics. As I've said before, the review process began immediately after the allegations were made this past May. I contacted the chancellor's office, and since then, except for when I was interviewed by the external reviewers, I hadn't been briefed on what they were hearing. Earlier this week, when I was briefed, I became aware that they have interviewed more than 90 people and reviewed more than 200,000 documents. The findings the external reviewers shared in the briefing gave me enough information to take action, and I have done that. The timing is obviously very unfortunate, but the information I received in this briefing provided enough evidence to make the decision now rather than waiting to a final report, which would most likely happen over the course of the season. I've also met with the rest of the coaching staff and Coach Bill Cubitt. Coach Cubitt has agreed to serve as the interim coach for the 2015 season. Bill has led a program as a head coach. The players are familiar with him, and he has the experience and respect to guide this team during a tough time. When I met with the players, as you could expect, there was a range of emotions, but I'm confident that our team will rally together and prepare for the upcoming season. The team has a strong leadership core, and I'm confident they will pull together behind this staff. Next week, we play our first game, and my hope is that together with our staff and administration and the DIA, we can turn the page and move forward. At this point in time, I'm happy to take any questions that you may have.
What was Coach Beckman's reaction when he talked to
him? Bob, I think it's a private matter, and I think I'll keep that between Coach Beckman and myself.
Mike, have you settled with this Vianovich family?
I'm sorry, Rob?
Have you settled with these Vianovich family?
Simon Spianovich. Have you made any movement toward a settlement?
There haven't been any discussions of that type. It's not a legal matter at this time.
Mike, you're 1 week away from the start of the football season, having interim head coach. How concerned are you for this year?
Well, certainly you go into any season, and this is really foreign territory in a lot of ways, Matt. But certainly, like I said, knowing the strength and the grit of this team and that core leadership group they have and the upperclassmen, also feel good about the fact that Bill Cubitt will serve in that interim position, and Bill has the experience. But know that it's going to take all of us to continue to move the program forward, and that begins from a competitive standpoint a week from tonight.
Was this your call, or was this the chancellor's office call?
No, this was my call. I certainly consulted other people on campus, a number of other individuals, but it was ultimately my decision.
Would that have been different had there been a permanent chancellor in place?
Would the decision have been made different, David?
Yes.
No.
Who did you consult with?
Just, I consulted with a variety of people. Certainly, my supervisor, interim chancellor, Barb Wilson, among many other folks.
Mike, what did you find that drove you to this decision?
Well, really, what I can share with you today, Jeremy, and I wish I could share more, it's really no different than what you're reading in the press release. And that's really as far as I can discuss the matter today when you look at the findings, the preliminary findings that were shared with me earlier in the week.
We talked about how the line could be changing too. Is this part of that, or is this things that you would have been disturbed by before?
I would have been disturbed regardless of where that line as it relates to the things that we talk about with our coaches. As you know, over a year ago, we started working on a coach's code of conduct, and all of you are welcome to get a copy of that. I'm sure Kent can accommodate you if you'd like to receive that. It already is a public document. That's an expectation we have for all of our coaches, not just our football coach, but the head coaches of all of our 20 other sports as well.
Mike, does this involve more than one incident, more than just the Simon incident that seems to be the start of it?
You know, Lauren, as I said, it really, what you see in the press release is how much I'll elaborate on the findings. And as you know, it's not a complete report yet. It's still an ongoing process.
Mike, you defended your culture all along. Can you defend your culture today?
I still can, yes. I think that the culture in our Division of Intercollegiate Athletics is tremendous. I believe in our coaches and our staff and our student athletes. I think they come to every work every day and participate every day wearing integrity on their sleeve, and it's all about doing things the right way.
If that's the case, then how did all this happen?
Well, I think in any situation, you know, we have 525 student athletes, David. We have 21 sports. We have 300 full-time staff, and I, you know, it's... For us, it's about making sure that we're going about doing things the right way, believing in things the right way, and when we find out that there's improvements that need to be made or changes that need to be made, we'll address those in the appropriate fashion.
Is anyone else losing their job? Anyone else?
At this point in time, there's not any plans to make any staff changes.
You have the staff who was here when these things apparently happened, so why do you have confidence in them? Is it just on Tim Beckman?
At this point in time, Jeremy, none of the other coaches have been implicated in the review.
Are there any actions you need to take, Mike, with the former athletes or any current athletes to address the wrongs that have been committed, particularly any medical issues?
Well, at this point in time, I'm not, when there's a final report and we have more information, then those are the things that we certainly can look into and address if necessary.
Is this one of the hardest situations you've had to deal with in your career at all?
Matt, I think that's fair to say. And it's not typical. You know, this is a wonderful place. We have wonderful people. We have wonderful fans. And certainly... We are all about doing things the right way, and we'll continue to move in that direction.
Will Bill Cubitt be considered for a full-time job?
if Bill Cubitt's interested, he'll be considered for the full-time job. I will tell you that moving forward, as it relates to a future search process, I mean, my focus is on today and playing a football game next Friday, but I'm not going to be in a situation where I'm addressing potential candidates, and I know that there'll be a lot of talk out there, and from my past searches, I know that a lot more of it's fiction than fact, but we will address the search at the appropriate time.
Is it your search to conduct this call?
It is, yes.
And that's after talking to the interim chancellor?
Yes, that would be my search to conduct.
Mike, we've asked you this before, but do you feel threatened with your job security, with the coach you hire that, you know, you have to dismiss because of these things?
No, I'm confident in the program that I'm leading. I know that when you're trying to build a program, Jeremy, that, especially in a big vision way, that you're going to have obstacles and adversity along the way. And certainly appreciative of the people that we have working over the DIA, our coaches, our staff, our student athletes, and the hard work and effort they put into making the special place that it is.
When did you find out the reviews and the information that came back on the preliminary report?
Matt, it was earlier in the week.
What was your reaction when you heard those findings and sat down with Francis Gretel?
I was shocked and angry when I became aware of the preliminary findings, Matt. And certainly that's what led me to making this decision swiftly before the final report became due or was completed.
Mike, when do you start the search for a new coach?
I think there's a formal process to starting a search, which more than likely you're a few months away from that, Jeremy. But I think you're always paying attention to what's out there. But